a lot of people are in fear, and fear is the opposite of faith, and it cannot stand when we're walking in faith. And so this coronavirus is, I mean, it's hit all of our families. I mean, at some level or another. I mean, not saying our families are down with the virus, but I've got a sister and a husband who have been in their home, and they're not, you know, I mean, they're just, you know, there's fear there. But we don't have to walk in fear. Amen. And it doesn't mean that we got to be stupid either and foolish. We got to walk in wisdom. But the wisdom of the Lord is, and this is the word that's been coming and it's been confirmed by others, and Brother Copeland made mention of it, but I didn't know what all he had said until after I said what I said last Sunday. Listen, this thing is going to be short-lived. It's going to be short-lived.
Yes.
God's already got it in control. And the reason why it's short-lived is because when it happened, even before it happened, God had called his people to prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land.
And yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's where we stand. I mean, God heard, and God's able to move quickly to take care of this virus because of the prayers of the people. But now let me say this. Somebody said, yeah, but look at all the deaths that have been. Yes, I understand that. But if my people had not been praying, he would tell you, it would have been a whole lot worse. It could have been a total disaster worldwide. We have contained that thing with our prayers, because our prayers have allowed the Spirit of God to move in ways that he couldn't move without our prayers. It was John Wesley that said that God can do nothing on earth except someone asked him to. And the reason is because he gave man the authority down here upon earth. And so we as Christians are to take our authority. And thinking about that, and then I heard this, we know. How many know Jesus is coming soon?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, we know we're in that season. And I'm gonna pinpoint that season a little bit closer for you, because I got some wisdom this week, and I'm listening to somebody, and I really begin to see something. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the day, but we need to be prepared, don't we? And so, as I was listening to someone, I believe it's going to be in my lifetime, and I'll tell you why. When did Israel become a state? 1948. And the Word of God tells us that those who were alive at that time, you know, they're going to see the coming of the Lord. Well, and then it talks about a generation in the Bible. Anybody know how long a generation is? I heard one say 40 years out there. That's what you would think. And we get that impression from the fact that the children of Israel spent how long in the wilderness? Because they had to have that generation die off.
Right.
But I was listening to Billy Graham this week, and you know, and she brought that up, and she was saying, 40 years? No. How long is a generation? Because it talks about from this generation to this generation to this generation to this generation to this generation and so on and so forth. And 14 generations. From, you know, it talks about from the beginning to Abraham and then 14 generations thereon. I may have my people a little bit, but it talks about generation. A generation is a lifetime. It's not 40 years. It's a lifetime. Now, let me, and I got to think about that lifetime. And many people have said, well, okay, lifetime. And they go to Psalms 90, and they see that the Lord talks about that people will live 80 years or 70 years and 80 if by strength. But that's not the believer. That's the sinner. If the sinner can live 70 years, and if by strength stretch out to 80 years, well, what about the believer? Does God say anything about the believer? Yes, he does. He He says in Genesis that the days of man shall be 120 years. Alright? Now, I'm not telling you the day of his coming. I'm just telling you we are in a season. You know that. But I'm pinpointing it just a little bit more because I think the Bible allows us to do this. So if you add 120 to 48, 1948, and you add 122, you get, I think, 2000 and, pardon? 68. Somewhere between now and then, I believe he's coming. We're at 2020. That means we might have almost another 50 years. I don't think it's going to take that long. That's just my personal opinion. But I believe it's going to happen by then.
No.
Have I set a date? No, because I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you can see Bible prophecy, it's coming to a close. Is it something for us to be afraid of? Absolutely not. We ought to be getting excited about it because of what God is doing. But I said all that because a lot of people are in fear and a lot of people are turning to the Lord these days. A lot of people are thinking about the Lord. We're thinking about the Lord. My family. And listen, I believe the Bible says, "Thy and thy household shall be saved." And that's just, I don't think it's just the ones under your own roof. I think it comes back, you can go back to, and you can claim on back there, family, brothers, sisters, you know, so on and so forth. If you're claiming them, praise God, speaking over them in the name of Jesus, we're going to see them born again. It's going to be easy for them to get born again.
Yes.
Because the Spirit of God is moving in ways He's never moved before.
Amen.
But yesterday, we were in prayer. And God began to show us some things. And I'm going to ask, well, Jim, you share with what you got first.
I was in the back. I was praying the Spirit of God started to show me a picture of a sword being thrust straight out, going right into the heart of this disease that we're dealing with, coronavirus.
Yeah.
And the heart of that disease is fear. So that's what God's using His word to deal with that fear. That we have in the Bible.
And the Word of God is as a sword, going right to the thing. And then I woke up this morning, and to add a little bit to that, I was thinking about that. Listen, and we already know that we've released through prayer, we've given God the opportunity to move by His Word. And if we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying the Word of God the way God wants directly using it. So He's above Tasha. As we pray in the Spirit, praise God, we're being accurate. I started to say another word, but we're being accurate, right on the money. We're causing the Word of God to be effective as we pray. And we're not to let up. Now, Wayne had something too, and I went in and then the Lord gave me something. I want you to share.
Well, in regards to Jim sharing about the sword of the Spirit, we were reading the scripture too, and you can just sense the anointing on it. And I feel like God was putting supernatural covering over the body. Everybody's part of this body as well as the global body.
Yes.
That this is a time of strengthening the body. Those who are in fear, it's a time for them to really get in God's presence. But as we were speaking the Word of God, we used Psalms 91, which you were sharing about Psalms 91. My grandmother, that was her favorite chapter of the Bible. So I've known this chapter for years and prayed it over our family. It just came alive to me. Even when I was sitting there playing the drums, the Lord brought it back to me again. And it just stirred in my spirit Psalms 91, which talks about God's shelter. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. And that's what I felt like God was doing through prayer. Through praying in the Holy Ghost, because you pray. And what's it say in the Word that we don't know how exactly to pray as we should, but when we pray in the Spirit knows the groaning and utterances, and we can pray it through the direction of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It takes God's hands, the Holy Spirit takes God's hands and puts the hands of man and becomes a perfect spirit, perfect prayer, perfect covering. Anyway, the enemy don't stand a chance. If we stand on God's Word, we speak God's Word, we use the wisdom that we've been given through men, washing the hands, practicing those things that we're supposed to do, and standing on God's Word. That's what I was just saying. God was just reiterating it to me. And I seen, as the Spirit came upon you, and it was like you were just beginning to corner the enemy. And I seen how you just went off in what I call it a dialect. Yeah. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is kind of just stepped into this whole prayer thing with us and led us into a place where we have a strong.
Right. When he talks to me going into a different dialect, let me give you a little background. When I was at Rhema, Roy Hicks, I followed him. I mean, he spoke to me, but he was there several times and spoke to us there at Rhema. And one of the things he taught us, he said, now listen, praying in the Spirit, you can pray in different dialects. And he led us in different dialects. We started out praying in a Spanish dialect, then we went to a Russian dialect, then we went to an Oriental Chinese dialect. And we just changed, stopped, and just start praying in different dialects. Well, when he was talking about that, I was praying in an Oriental, a Chinese dialect. I don't know what I was saying, except this is what I was thinking in my, as I was doing it, and I was on that side, and I was pushing that. We were pushing back that coronavirus.
Amen.
Pushing it back. Now, but let me say this too, because God is saying this, and I know by the Spirit. Just because we have defeated the coronavirus doesn't mean we can stop praying. And I'm not coming any closer. I'll keep my distance. But we don't stop praying because the enemy's not finished yet. There's something else coming. I don't know what it is, but we need to continue to pray. Now, as I was praying about that and continuing to pray, and yesterday I saw something else. And this has got me excited. I thought, because as Jim was beginning to do that, and then you were getting what you were getting, I got something, and that's why I had to ask you all to give up. This is what I saw. We're in kind of a... anybody ever play chess? Mm-hmm. And you understand the object of chess is checkmate? Mm-hmm. I just saw it. Here is God and the devil playing chess. The devil made his move, coronavirus. Well, praise God, the body of Christ took care of that, and by the Spirit we began to pray, and God made his move, and we surrendered. He's making another move. But the object of the game is checkmate. The devil doesn't know it, but every move he makes, and everything he does, and he's going to keep trying, and I don't know what the next move will be, but God is surrounding him and cornering him. Putting him in check. The devil is always in check with, as we pray in the Spirit, as we stand on the Word of God, and we pray and allow the Spirit of God to move.
Amen.
And he's in check until he makes that one final move, and all of a sudden, checkmate. Amen? You get the picture?
Yeah.
Checkmate.
Yes.
What happens? He's defeated. He's already defeated.
Yes.
But praise God.
Right.
Checkmate. I could just see him. Checkmate. That to me. I saw this. Yeah. Checkmate. He's finished. It's done. It's over with. And he's gone to his destiny. No more. So I got excited about that because I see what God's doing. God, the devil makes a move. God makes a move. And God's moves are our plan. Praise God. He knows what he's doing. He sees the beginning from the end. And he's not walking. He doesn't want his people walking in fear. He wants his people cooperating with him so that he can make the moves and his precise moves as we pray. The devil's making his moves, but he doesn't know where God's coming from. When we're praying in the Spirit, he has no idea. He just knows he's being attacked. So we're going to keep the pressure. Amen.
Yes,
we've got an exciting time. Now, that happened yesterday morning. And then along sometime, because Carol was back in, I don't know when you were back in, but Carol sent me a text. Or did you call me? I can't remember which. It doesn't matter. Anyway, there was a call come in on the recorder. There was this, I have to go back and look at his name.
Yeah, I texted you last night.
Peter, Peter Wallace had called. And so I called him. Didn't know what he wanted. Called him. Found out what he wanted. He had been in the hospital. He'd been in Doctor's West. And he's got gallbladder problems. He had liver problems and several things. And he's recovered. And he was staying with his brother over Hague Avenue here in Columbus. But his brother didn't want him coming home. All that infection, all that, anything to do with around the because everybody's in fear because of the coronavirus, anything to do. And so he was in the motel across the street. And All he was asking for was one night of motel. Because what had he found? His uncle up in Cleveland is coming to get him today. And he's going to take him up there. He's going to recover up there. And coming back here. And then they'll find him a place to live through the various means that they go through. But, so I was listening to him and like that. And I was thinking, well, and the other interesting thing was this. He called several people. We weren't the first church he called. He called other churches. And he called one church. And one church, this is the response. He said, first, if believers can do it, are you a member of our church? Was the question. The answer was no. Well, we can't help you. Slammed the phone down. That's not walking in love, is it? And so I was thinking about that one. And, like that, and so I said, well, listen, I can't promise you anything yet. Let me make a couple phone calls. And so I called Pastor Carol. We talked about it a little bit. And she made a suggestion to call. I hope I'm getting ditto, right? And see if we could get confirmed he'd been in the hospital. But ditto said because of Patient Privacy Act, couldn't get that information, but he should have discharge papers up to date. So I called him back and I said, okay, do you have your discharge papers? He said, well, I've been in this room. I said, I want your latest discharge papers. Yeah, I can give those to you. No problem. He wasn't there. And so when we got there, I didn't go by myself. Because by this time, it was getting close to 8:30, 9 o'clock, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So I called Jim and I said, Jim, ready to do some ministry? I took somebody with me. I want support. And we went over to this motel because this is not. The fanciest motel in town. Far from it. And so, but I didn't go to his door first. I didn't know what room he was in. I went to the manager. I started asking questions there. And so he gave me he confirmed the price of the room and he gave me the room number and like that. And we gave him one of our cards. We talked to him. I said, I'm going to go talk to him. I said, if he confirms everything, I'll be back and I'll pay his bill. So I went around to his room, we walked around to his room, he opened the door, we were talking to him, but I said, now we did go in. Now I know everybody's concerned about coronavirus, but we had prayed and we had taken authority over that virus. We were standing on Romans 8:2, which says that for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. And we were pleading the blood of Jesus, so we were surrounded. So he invited us in, and it was cold last night. Turning cold. So we stepped in, we just stepped in the door and talking with him and said, well, quick, let's pray. Now, okay, some of you might, we violated, we were protected, so we just grabbed hand and we were praying. After I saw his paper, and it's true, within the last 10 to 15 days he'd been in the hospital, and the manager confirmed that, so I saw that, and it was taken back, so I knew right. And he was freedom. So we asked him the question, if you were to die, you know whether you go to heaven or hell. I mean, I know I'd ask one, but I said, you know Jesus. That was it. At least we asked him, yeah, I know Jesus. Okay. That means you confess him as Lord and Savior. Okay. So you do know him. Okay. So we prayed. We started holding hands praying. I said, now, Jim, here's the time. The Bible says lay hands on the sick. But I don't wait for the right time. And here's the other thing. This motel wasn't the best. It was kind of, you and I wouldn't have gone there. None of us would go to that motel. I'm just telling you, okay? It's one of those kinds. But he was clean. He had just recently taken a shower. You could tell. He had fresh clothes on. He smelled fresh, and like that. So we prayed for him. I said, now, Tim, that's when we laid hands on him. And we just took the cold over there. So I left there. I knew he was one. I said, but here's the one thing. I gave him our church card. I said, here's the one thing I don't want. When you get back from Cleveland, when you're back down here in the ferry, you come see us. And he's going to come. He didn't hesitate at all. There was no hesitation. And I'm taking a long time to say this, but God's going to send us through some things like this. And so he took the cart, and we left there knowing that. So went back up to the hotel, and I the office. I paid the bill, but we asked the question: if you die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? So we took care of two of them last night.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm just saying, even in all of the times that we're in, there's opportunity.
Yes.
But here here's the reason why I was asking the Lord, why in the world are you doing this to us right now at this time? Because many of you know that Dottie and I have temporarily taken in a person that has been here in church and going through a really tough time physically and just a separation from, a cut off from family. A family just turned against her. And she didn't have any money, and she's going to be put on the street. I couldn't allow that. So we've got her at the house, and we're ministering to her. Everybody thinking coronavirus and all that. I'm not walking in fear. I'm doing what God says.
Yes.
And it's all working out.
Thanks.
God gets the glory for it.
Yes.
But we've got to act and obey the Spirit of God. But we had helped her, and we'd helped her with several hundreds of dollars before it's all over. I mean, over a period of time. When she called the other day and she was supposed to be able to go to her doctor, and the doctor was supposed to be able to give her a prescription to go into the nursing home for 3 months, and then her caseworker said, after 3 months, we can get you into a housing. And that's where we were, and that was kind of like, well, she went to the doctor, all right, finally, after the doctor canceled one appointment because they closed an office and had to go to another office. She went to that appointment, and the doctor said, no, I'm not allowing you to go to the nursing home. That's the worst place in the world for you to go. And so she was about to be out on the street. Well, that wasn't $75. That was a couple hundred bucks a night that it was costing. I said, I can't do it. Well, here's what I can do for her. And that's why she's over at the house. But we're believing God. Praise God. That's short term. And she's got a new caseworker now because her doctor gave her a better caseworker. Gave her all kinds of things to walk through this. And said, if you'll do these things, I'll get you into the house and start working. So, but she's having to do some homework. And, I mean, she's calling these places and getting it set up. So that's where we are. So it isn't that we can help everybody. We can't. We're a growing church. But when God says do it, we're going to do it. And I've learned to quit asking questions. Well, Lord, how much? I mean, we can't, because it looks impossible. We're growing. And we're going to, listen, I've told you before, part of the vision I have. Does anybody remember what I said? The check I want to write out one day? Anybody remember the amount?
$1 million.
$1 million. I'm looking for the day when we can write out those $1 million checks. Are we there yet? No. But we're writing out checks if we can.
Yeah.
We're backing missionaries that are going and doing great things overseas. Now they're all grounded in their home now, but we're backing many, and then here we were able to help this brother last night. I called him a brother. He said he was a brother. We'll see where they follow through. But we did what God said to do. And God saw us, and that's important. And then by helping lead. So we're doing what we can do. And I'm learning not to ask God how much, but if He says do it, we just take the next step and start doing it. He's our provider.
Yes, He is.
He's our source.
Yes.
So we take that step. Now, one of the things we're going to do, one of the things we're going to do very quickly, and Beth, I want you to help me out on this, and you in person. I want to have family meetings. We're going to go over our vision. I want that pie chart we've been talking about. I want it within 2 weeks. I'm giving you 2 weeks. I'm not talking that next Sunday, but the Sunday after, I want to have a family. We're going to show her where we're going, what our vision is, what the percentages, we're going to use percentages, and so on, so what we're doing, where we're doing, what we're doing, and where we're going to project where we're going. Time is running short, and we need to do this. One of these days, we're going to open that door, and the floodgates are going to open. People are coming. People are coming. And so we need to know where we're at. I want everybody to know where they are. And so everybody can make a decision whether they want to you know, come on and stay on board. And that's just, it makes common sense. We were at Rhema a couple weeks ago. Well, not a couple weeks, in February. Well, I guess a couple, 3 weeks. What?
It was a month ago.
Month ago, okay. We stopped at Branson at Keith Moore's church. Anybody know who Keith Moore is? Okay. And they were having one of these meetings. And we've been to the second one. And they're a much larger church, and they're dealing in the millions of dollars and like that. But they broke these things down. And it was very easy to understand where they were going, what they had done, what they're doing. And they got their project, and this is where we are, and this project, and this is the money where we've raised for this, and this, we've been able to check off this. Those are the kind of things I'm talking about we're going to do. We're going to start doing. Now, our list is going to be much smaller, and our project. One of the things that is happening, of course, this was the first time. This is a faith project for the pulpit. And then you've all heard us talk about chairs. Guess what's happening Wednesday morning? Chairs are coming.
Chairs are coming.
They're coming. The only thing I need at least four strong men that's available Wednesday morning to help me get these chairs in. What is that? We're casting vision and we're getting ready for that new building. And these chairs, what are we going to do with these chairs? We're going to take them from this building right into the next building.
Yeah. Amen.
And if we get into a building that's already got the sanctuary set up and doesn't need those chairs, God's already showed me what we're going to do with the chairs anyway. So we're going to take them. Look, I'm saying this is called growing. But at the same time, we've got to walk in love. Amen? Called to walk in love, because walking in love is how we're going to get there. If we can't walk in love, we can't be about God's business, because God is
love.
Amen? And if we see a need and we can meet it, then we need to meet it. You remember the parable Jesus told about the going through down to Jericho, and there was those that passed by, the priest and the Levite passed by, but there was this good Samaritan that stopped and helped him.
Yeah. Right.
He said, "Listen, I've given you the authority here on earth. That's the way I intended it in the beginning. And as you stay in prayer and you begin to pray in the spirit and." My spirit prays through you.
Thank you.
We'll accomplish what I need to accomplish.
Yes, sir.
And he said it this way. He said, together, this will be a quick work.
Yes.
Together, this will be a quick work.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that as you're praying in the spirit, I'm putting in you what to pray. I'm putting in you what to release. I'm telling you what to release so that you speak it out. And as you speak it out, you're driving the force of fear back. You're driving the enemy back. Releasing my power, my word, and together we'll make quick work of this.
Yes.
I need your help. I can't do it by myself, he's saying. I need you praying. I need my people praying. And I've heard from heaven your prayers. And they're being answered. And together we'll make a quick work of this.
Hallelujah.
Every move of God puts the devil in check.
Yep.
And the reason why God can move and put the devil in check is because of what we're doing. We're doing quick work. We're doing it together. We're praying. Praise God. That allows God to move.
Yes.
If we don't pray, God can't move. But every move, praise God, we put in check. And he is in check. Check, 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 check. Until that day, God said, no more. Check me. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Praise